So we're going to look at a man today, fellow that's known by as a blind Bartimaeus. We're going to be talking about more than a miracle. So I'm going to ask that you stand as we read God's word. This is found in Mark 10, 46 through 52. It says, "Now they came to Jericho," talking about Jesus and the apostles. "And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard him, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more." I like this. He got louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Can't you hear him? "So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man and saying to him, 'Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you.' Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." You may be seated. More than a miracle. So, there's much we can learn from Bartimaeus, particularly regarding prayer. And that's where we're going to focus on today. Now, Bar in Hebrew means son of. Timaeus is his dad's name. So, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. And then it goes on to say son of Timaeus. I don't really know what his name was. It could be Junior. Don't know. As a matter of fact, you know what? Sometimes the Bible doesn't really give a person's name or anything. But did you know Jesus knew who it was? Jesus knew who it was. And so Jesus and his disciples had gone to Jericho. And as they were coming out of Jericho, there was a great multitude that was following Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus was on the roadside begging. And as he was begging, he heard all this multitude going by. And he understood that it was Jesus who was going by. Now, I can imagine him hearing about Jesus. I'm sure he did. From somewhere. Maybe it was Zacchaeus. I don't know. But he heard about Jesus and probably heard about him healing other blind men. And so I'm thinking, here he is sitting on the roadside hoping that one day Jesus is going to come by. One day he would have the opportunity to speak to Jesus face to face and tell him what he wanted. So here he is begging. Poor. Has nothing to his name. And he hears this multitude and he understands that it is Jesus. So he calls out. He calls out to Jesus and he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Did you know that there are some people who can be loud and obnoxious? Have you known anybody like that? Don't look at your... No, never mind. Bart was... I'm going to call him Bart. Bart was loud and he was obnoxious. And he kept on being loud and obnoxious. And people were saying, Bart, quiet. Bart, shut up. Bart, sit down. Bart, shut your mouth. And you know what he did? He just got louder. He got louder because he wanted to get Jesus' attention. He wanted to get Jesus' attention. But you know what? I want to share with you what got his attention. It wasn't his loud voice. And I'm sure sitting by the road, I don't know how many years, maybe even since birth, he had been blind, don't know. But he had learned how to holler. He had learned how to get somebody's attention. And he was hollering for Jesus to get his attention. But did you know his hollering didn't get Jesus' attention? What got his attention was his faith. That's what got his attention. Look, if you would, there it says, Jesus told him, I think this is in verse 52, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Bart was seeking Jesus diligently. And he did not let anybody dissuade him from his desire to seek Jesus. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When he called on Jesus, he said, Jesus, Son of David. Now that's to us that may not mean a lot, but in those days, anyone who was called the Son of David meant that they were recognized as the Messiah. And so Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was calling on the Messiah. He knew that after all that he had heard about Jesus healing one person after another person after another person, this must be the Messiah. So even his statement of faith, Son of David, was a statement of faith. That he had embraced Jesus as the Messiah. And he knew that Jesus could do something that no one else could do. So he knew who Jesus was. Do you? Emily was sharing, she thought she knew who Jesus was. But then she had an encounter with him. And really began to have a relationship with him, and now she has a better understanding of who Jesus is. There's a difference in knowing about him and knowing him. So he knew who Jesus was. His faith was not only in who Jesus was or what he could do, but it was also in what he could do for him. What Jesus could do for Bart, if only he could get his attention. Faith, if we want anything from God, there has to be faith involved in it. There has to be faith involved. Again, I'm going to read Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. To please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Bart didn't know this passage of scripture. But he did know in his heart, if I can just get to him, Jesus is going to do something for me. There was another person in New Testament that Jesus was really kind of surprised by his faith, and it was the centurion. The centurion, you find this in Matthew 8, 5 through 13. So this centurion knew who Jesus was, The centurion knew the authority that Jesus had. And the centurion had a servant that was sick. And so he went to Jesus and he asked Jesus, would you heal my servant? And Jesus said, well, I'll go with you. He said, no, don't come with me. I would rather you just speak the word. Just speak the word over him. And if you speak the word over him, I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus was surprised. You know, you'd think you wouldn't be able to surprise Jesus. But he was surprised by this man's faith, because all he realized that this man's faith was beyond anything even of all Israel. There was no one in Israel he found that had faith like this centurion. And so he just said, come, just speak the word. And scripture says, and his servant was healed that same hour. So the question I have for myself and for you is, how much faith do you have? Because there seems to be a key to answered prayer regarding faith. And we find that all through Scripture. There's a key to answered prayer all through Scripture. The second thing we find about Bart's praying is that he was his importunity, and that means one who is persistent even to the point of annoyance. Although everyone was telling him, or many was telling him, to be quiet, don't make a ruckus, don't hinder the message that Jesus is preaching, you just be quiet. Nothing in his soul was going to be quiet when the Savior was there. Nothing in his soul was going to be quiet when the opportunity of a lifetime was in his presence. There was nothing that was going to cause him to be quiet. Now, I want you to understand this. I want you to get this. He wasn't loud to get everybody else's attention. A lot of times people act out so they can get other people's attention. That's not why he was loud. He was loud to get Jesus' attention. He wasn't seeking attention from the crowd. He was seeking Jesus' attention. If there's ever a time in our life where we... You remember this Pharisee, he was praying these long prayers and people, you know, just like, whoa, man, that's a great prayer. I wish I could pray like that guy. And man, he would just put it on a little bit harder and a thicker. And oh, look at me. He's praying for other people, not for God. Bart was different. His prayer was to Jesus. It wasn't for everyone else. His prayer was for Jesus. This idea of importunity, Jesus shares a couple of parables regarding this continuing, being obnoxious in your prayer. There's in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, there's a parable. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For the friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him within and say, do not trouble me. The door is shut. My children are in bed with me. I can't rise and give you anything. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because his friend, yet because of his persistence, because of his importunity, because of his obnoxiousness, he will rise and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, Jesus says, Ask, it'll be given you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will be opened. These words, ask, seek, knock, it's a continuous thing. It's like you ask and keep on asking. You knock and keep on knocking. You seek and keep on seeking. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And that's what Bart was doing. He was just not quitting. He was not going to give up no matter what anyone said. He was going to keep knocking. He was going to keep seeking. He was going to keep asking. He was going to keep praying. He was going to keep receiving. He was keeping on till he received what God had for him. There's another parable of a widow who was going to a king for help or a judge. He said, then he spoke a parable to them, and this is Luke 18, 1 through 8, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying there was a certain day a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me and my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubling me, importunity, being obnoxious, being irritating, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what this unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night, say day and night, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he finally, really find faith on the earth? Did you know that God is still looking for faithful people? And the question at the end of this, he talks about praying. He's talking about importunity. He's talking about not giving up. But then he says at the end of this, when Jesus comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So this importunity is a part of faith. You can't separate the two. A lot of us, myself included, we pray for a few days and then we forget. Or we quit. Or we decide it's not God's will. Or something else takes precedence. And so what God is telling us, what Jesus is saying through these parables is just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said she prayed for 27 years, day after day after day, for someone. And finally, they came to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's importunity. That's nagging. That is being obnoxious. That is continuing. That is faith. Knowing that God will hear your prayer and he will answer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Bart didn't give up. You don't give up. You keep on praying. You keep on praying. Now, there are times when God says no. But you need to pray until he tells you no. Don't just assume it's a no just because he hasn't answered yet. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, Paul, you remember, had a thorn. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And he said he prayed to God as Satan. He said, Satan just kept buffeting me. He kept beating me. And I prayed to God three times, Lord, deliver me from this stuff. And God said, I don't think so. My grace is sufficient for you. But he kept praying until God gave him an answer, right? And so you need to have an answer of peace. Don't just give up because it hasn't happened yet. Jesus was in the garden. And he prayed, Scripture says he prayed three times, Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to face the cross. I don't want to go through that. It's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. It's going to kill me. I don't want to go through that. Finally, he realized he knew all along, but sometimes we just have to get it out, right? Sometimes we just have to tell him, God, how we're feeling. Sometimes we just need to lay it all out there. He knows anyway. But we need to lay it out there, let him know our heart, and then let him speak comfort to us. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. You remember, sometimes we need friends to come along beside us. That's what Jesus did, but his friends fell asleep. He asked his friends, come pray for me, come pray for me, come pray for me, come pray for me. I'm really in a desperate situation right now. I feel like I am so depressed. I'm so hopeless. I'm so horrified. That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? But that's what Scripture says. I need you to come pray for me. And they came around him and prayed for a little while and fell asleep. But did you know Jesus kept praying and kept praying and kept praying until he got the answer? And it was an answer of peace. He came to a point where he was able to say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. He laid his life down. He laid his life down because he knew there was a glorious day coming. There was a promise of his resurrection. We don't always get what we ask for. But we should continue to pray even when we don't see the immediate answer. So I approached the school board. We talked about Leah King coming. She's a lady out from Texas who is getting her doctorate in biblical gender identity, basically. And so I've asked the school board if they would allow her to come and speak in an assembly at the school. They got back with me. They said, what we can do is we can't have her speak during the school hours, but we can have her speak after school. So what a victory. What a victory. Praise the Lord. So we need to be praying that we get students there. We need to be praying that we get parents there. We need to be praying that we get community there so that they can hear truth from a logical perspective, even without, the Bible is logical, right? Sometimes we don't understand it because sometimes it takes faith. And let me take that back. Sometimes it's not logical. But there's logic in it. Sometimes we can't wrap our human brain around God things. So we just have to take it by faith. But there are certain things, particularly gender identity, that is pretty logical. And so she will be speaking from that aspect when she goes to the school. How to speak critically and logically in a sexually crazed community. So thank you for your prayers regarding that. That would be, we haven't set a date. I have a meeting with the school superintendent on Wednesday. So she will be here April the 22nd through that week. And she will be speaking here on that April the 22nd in the morning. She'll be speaking at the First Christian Church for all of the churches on that Sunday night. And I'm hoping to get her into school on Tuesday and then have a big youth to do on Wednesday. And so be in prayer about that. The third thing we find is that when Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? He was very specific about what he wanted. Now, there were a lot of things taking place in his life. He was blind. He was poor. I don't know where he slept. But when Jesus asked him, what you want me to do, he was very specific. He was poor. He could have asked for money. He was blind. He could have asked for someone to be his care provider. He could have asked for a nice home. He could have asked for anything. But when Jesus asked him, what do you want? me to do for you? He said, I want to see. Open my eyes. I want to see. So I'm going to ask you a question. What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want him to do for you? A lot of times we just speak in generalities. But what Bart was like really specific in what he was saying. And you need to think about, what do you really want from Jesus? What do you want? Jesus probably knew he was blind, no doubt. Yeah. And he may have assumed this guy wants to see. But he said, what do you want? So if Jesus were to ask you, what do you want? Could you tell him? You're going to have an opportunity to do that here in a few minutes. Now this last point, when Jesus told him, go your way, he followed Jesus. Jesus said, okay, you are healed. You received your sight. Now go your way. And so blind Bartimaeus said, well, my way is your way. I'm going to go where you're going. I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to follow you. That was his way. Here's the thing. The more of a miracle has to do with relationship. Not just miracle. Miracles are great, and we're all looking for miracles. But when you have that relationship, that's more than a miracle. It's more than a miracle. The relationship is everything. Now, we're not told. We know that he's not part of the original 12, the apostles. We know that. I don't know if he was part of the 72. Where he's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. I mean, other Gospels talk about blind man who was healed, probably Bartimaeus. But he's never mentioned anywhere in Scripture. It wouldn't surprise me that if he wasn't one of the 120 that was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Wouldn't surprise me a bit, because he followed Jesus. So, in closing, are you wanting a miracle? Or are you wanting a relationship? Or both? Or both? If Jesus were passing by today, and if he visited Life Change, and he walked in here, what would you ask of him? What miracle do you need today? Emily shared some miraculous things that happened in her life. They would never have happened if she hadn't asked. Never would have happened. And she has shared with me, I guess all of them. But there was one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. Things that she needed to step out of and step into, and God provided a way instantaneously. I asked Jesus if he would be with us today, and he said he would. Jesus is here. You've been calling out to him. And I'm telling you to arise. He's calling for you. Now, Bart could have said, I'm not worthy. I don't believe. I like where I am. I like my life like it is. I don't want to change. But here's what he did. He threw aside his garment. He let go of his worldly possession. and he chose Christ. So sometimes before we can have a miracle, sometimes before we have to, before we're able to experience Jesus in relationship, there's some things that we need to discard. What is it that you need to discard in order to have that relationship, in order to experience the miracle that God has for you? So as the worship team comes, I'm going to ask you to arise. He's calling you. Some of you may need to come here at the altar. Some of you may want to share with me and have me pray with you. But he's calling you. And even though some of the worship team, if you want to quit playing or singing and get on your knees before the Lord, Jesus is here today. He wants to meet with you. Father, we come before you and thank you that you're here. Thank you that you hear us calling. And Lord, you're telling us, arise. Today is the day of our salvation. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.